There's a person who wanted to go out and witness for the Lord and be a preacher and take the word of God to the world the best he could. His name was Peter. You remember him? And he asked the fellow he was with, whose name was Jesus, was he doing the right thing? He said, yeah, you're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. By the way, it's the equivalent of a gun. He said, do you have a sword? And Peter said, well, no. He said, get one. If you have to sell your clothes, get one. Read your Bible. Arm yourself. You at war. You do the same thing. Jerry Falwell's son told 7,000 of them up there the other Sunday, arm yourself. Get a gun. Not just at church, everywhere you go. The war is on, folks. The war is on, and they don't like us. Their goal is to kill us. We're inviting people to move into our country whose stated goal is to kill every Christian and Jew. That's the goal, to take over the world. And we won't believe that. We just will not believe that. This morning, I hate to report, there will be children crucified in Afghanistan and Iran and that area of the world because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. I read of three little kids that couldn't be any older than our little kids that come over here, just little bitty children. And the Muslims came in and they said, are you of Islam? And they said, no, we're Christian. And he said, well, if you don't convert, we're going to kill you. And it wasn't their parents. It was the children said, I'm sorry. We follow Jesus and we love him. Do what you have to do. And they shot those three kids right in the head in front of their parents and then shot the parents. I don't need them at my house. And the White House, by the way, belongs to me and you. I don't need them in our hallway. I almost threw up one day when I cut on the television set and Arafat was walking down the hallway of the White House. Who arranged that and why? That's the enemy. You fight. You prepare yourself. Get ready. It's coming. Well, people aren't going to like you. Most people never did. So we'll go on and preach what we preach, right? And I preach the gospel. That's all I know to preach. I learned from my father, he preached the gospel. So where did he learn that? He learned that from the Bible. He said, going to all the world and preach the gospel. Had nothing to do with program 1, 2, and 3, the sunshine class, the knitting class that meets Wednesday afternoon, and choir practice. It had to do with taking the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. That was the commission. The Great Commission, and if you brought a Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul has found out who wrote Galatians, who the Holy Spirit wrote Galatians through him. He has found out that the church that he's established, the following he's establishing, and the gospel he's preaching is taking some kind of root in that country, but he is amazed that just in a couple of years, people leaving the faith, going back to where they were, giving it up. It's a shame that people give up on God. Why would you do that? Once you find out about him, how can you turn your back on him? Well, see, we have so many people who have started their own religion. They call them denominations. And more churches break up over the color of the carpet than anything else. Can you imagine such a thing? We're going to have a church split. Why? Well, Mother Johnson's daddy gave the land for the church, and she wants a red rug. But Brother Smith over there helped build the church with a lot of money, and he wants a blue rug. And we have the church is going to split over this. What is the matter with the thinking of people, especially Christians? So Paul has run into this, and we will pray, and then we will expound Galatians for you. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness. We thank you for the healing of this young lady who had fallen, and we thank you for another here who fell down and hurt her head last week. We have people here with cancer, and they are been given a death sentence by the doctor, but the doctor isn't in charge. You are. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mighty miracles that we see every day, and that we know that we know that we know who you are, what you are, and we know your word is truth, and that's what we're going to preach, and that's what we're going to follow. Thank you for giving us a place to preach in. Thank you for people who come on a regular basis and support this ministry, that we can reach out not only in this area, but through the webcam we can be heard around the world. And we get emails, as you already know, of people who thank us because we are their church. They're sick of what they're hearing. They don't want to be misled, and they're so glad to find a church that will preach the pure gospel. They don't know what to do. I would be glad of that too. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the atonement. Thank you that you died for us. Thank you that you swapped your righteousness for our sinfulness. I don't even understand that. But I thank you that by faith in you it happened, and those who follow that are safe in your care, and nobody can undo that. Give us a good day in you. Thank you for the storm not coming to our area and disrupting things. And thank you for the way you've cared for us through the years. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we find Brother Paul is talking in verse 6. He's talking to the people that he's found out that they are leaving the faith. They are making up things of their own or going back to Judaism. And he says in verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Well, I didn't know there was another gospel. There isn't. There's only one. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and died on the cross and shed his blood for the sins of mankind. And whosoever will believe that and believe he was crucified and buried and rose again will receive his salvation. And nobody can take that from you. Now, there's been millions of sermons preached on the things in the Bible to teach us how to live better and do better, but that is the gospel. That is what is supposed to be taken around the world. How in the world did we get in a position that churches don't believe in the resurrection of Christ anymore? 80% of the seminaries in this country doubt that Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily. What are you teaching? I was in seminary and saw a kid, I don't know his name, somebody called it and said, so I said, what's wrong with him? He looks down in the dumps all the time. He said, well, he's having trouble with the resurrection. I said, the only resurrection he's going to have trouble with is him, because he's lost as a billy goat. If you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead, you're on a bus to hell. Well, I just can't believe you would talk like that. Y'all hear me at home. Okay. We are to teach the pure gospel, and that's what Paul taught. Do you remember he's written most of the Bible that was written through him, many books of the Bible? Galatians is just almost a copy of Romans. It's a little explanation of Romans is what it is. It's a theological masterpiece. But of all Paul knew, and he was so smart, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the greatest teacher of his day. And then he was converted, of course, to Christianity and became, instead of a killer of Christians, a winner of Christians to Christ. And this man summed up everything he knew, and he knew so much. He has such an intellect and such theological knowledge from God, and he didn't get his gospel from the apostles. Most other people of that area did. They won't know what John thought and Matthew thought and What is Peter thinking? Well, that Paul said, no, I've got the gospel. I've been saved. I got knocked off my donkey on the Damascus Road, and I got up blind. I couldn't see for 3 or 4 days, and I went to a house they took me to that I knew not of, and then I was healed, and scales fell off my eyes. And you will notice as you read the scriptures, every now and then you'll see, and I signed this with such big letters. You read that about the Apostle Paul all the time. What was wrong? Why did he have to use big letters when he signed? The reason was he could see now, but he wasn't back to normal. So he could do normal handwriting. He would get a secretary to write what God taught him to write. He would give it to the secretary. The secretary would write it, and then Paul would sign off on it so the people who got it would know it was from him. And he warned them. You'll read it as you read your Gospels. I write in such large letters. There's a reason for that. And he has written, finally, his total gospel message was, I don't claim to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yet we have churches come along 2,000 years ago who know more, apparently, than the Apostle Paul did. Well, my goodness, what intellect you must have. Well, where did he get his theological knowledge? From the other apostles? No. He got it at night school. He did what? He got it at night school. He'll tell you the Lord visited him at night and taught him by inspiration what to say, and that's why we call the Bible the inspired Word of God. That's why we say it is inerrant, indestructible. You can't do anything more than is written here. There's one saying in the Gospels. It's first said in Habakkuk in the Old Testament. It's one little phrase, and then it's throughout the New Testament 3 or 4 more times. Very few verses are that. And it's very simply called, the just shall live by faith. You say, well, that's a pretty short message, isn't it? Well, not if I tell you it all, because you'll be here till sundown if I tell you all that's in those few lines. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the just. Who are the just? The just are the justified, those who are justified before God, who are found righteous in the eyes of God. Did you know if you're a Christian and you've accepted Christ by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, that according to God, he can't see any sin in you? None whatsoever. Get phone calls and people want counseling and this, that, and the other over sins they committed 50 years ago. Well, it just so worries me because I did so-and-so, and I remember, and I said, did you get saved? He said, yes. I said, it's gone. It's over. You see, we can't understand that God wiped our record clear once we accepted Christ. Then we find legalism. Legalism, when you ask a Christian, if you ask a few today or this week, what is legalism? 90% will tell you legalism is following the Jewish law, following the legal law. Well, you're not going to do that. There were 613 laws that you had to follow. It'd take you half a lifetime to memorize them all, let alone to learn how to walk that way. And that's not true anymore. We don't need any legalism once we put our faith in Christ. Everything's taken care of. Works don't matter. You find out entire denominations will say, well, yes, you receive Christ to be your Savior, but then you've got to be, and they got all kind of things you got to be, baptized, idolized, authorized, secularized, you know. You have to add that to your faith. I'm sorry, you don't have to add anything to your faith. By grace you're saved through faith is what the gospel is. You can't add anything to the gospel. Biggest denomination in Christianity says, yes, we believe in accepting Christ by faith. However, once you accept him by faith, you have to continually do a certain amount of works or you're not saved. What's Bradley supposed to do? He can't talk, he can't walk, he can't do anything with his hands. What is he supposed to do? He's one of the best witnesses, by the way, of any Christian I ever met, because you have to push him around or carry him around, and people will look at him in pity, and they'll want to ask, because it brings you to tears. You're so thankful when you see that kid that you have arms, that you have legs, that you can talk, that your intellect is above a second or third grade level, although you're 20-something years old. Can you imagine being in that shape? And you see him, and grown men will see him, and tears will come in their eyes, asking Sylvia, his mom, really his grandmother, his mother got on dope, and that's why he's in the shape he is physically. Tell Bradley that taking drugs is not harmful. Get him on the phone. And drug dealers will probably shoot me one day. I don't care. I'll go straight home. But my way of thinking, and we get a lot of people come and leave because of my way of thinking, by the way. My way of thinking, if you catch a drug dealer, hang him. You want to stop cocaine coming into this country? When you catch somebody doing it, shoot him. We'll hold court later. Right? Then we'll vote later. Yeah. Ruining the country, ruin lives, ruin kids, killing people, and yet we put up with it like it's all right. Why? Because we did exactly what these people Paul's talking about did. We received the gospel and what we should do and how we should live, but we decided we had a better way. We'd add something to that. You cannot add anything to the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for all sin, for all men, for all time. Now the problem comes with people who read that and think they're smarter than God. They'll say, oh, well, if my sins are paid for at Calvary and he died for all the sins of mankind, then I can do for whatever I want to because I'm saved. No, you can't. I was studying Dr. Geisler this week, and Dr. Geisler said this is a division in the church because as Christians, we're walking a tightrope line. And by the way, did you see the guy that walked the tightrope over the Grand Canyon? Wasn't that a marvelous thing that he did? I can't imagine doing such a thing, even if it was on the ground. And I saw one the other day, it's crazier than him. He walked a tightrope stretched between two hot air balloons at 4,000 feet. The rope's going like this, he's going like that. And I mean, what are you doing up there? Fortunately, somebody put a parachute on him. I mean, how is he not going to fall? And after the second or third try, he made it. But what gets into a man's mind that he think he was covered by? It's what happens to Christians. They say, well, yes, I'm saved, but I've got to do this. I've got sins behind me that are so wicked I would hate to for anybody to know them. Bad news. God knew them before you did them. Yeah, but what I did, and it keeps people from salvation, by the way, keeps them out of church. Well, I would go to church, but those people don't want me down there. Why? They were just the same as you. They were lost as you are, just in a different fashion. Son, when you fall out of an airplane, it doesn't matter if you jump out and fall 6 feet from the plane, or you fall out and you're 2 feet from the plane, the results are the same. 30,000 feet later, you're dead if you didn't have a heart attack while you were falling. Huh? You're gone. Now, will everybody get the same punishment? No. Do you get rewards for serving God? Yes. Do you do those rewards? Do you work hard so you can get rewards for yourself, as some people teach? Absolutely not. God has done for you everything He needs to do when He sent His Son to die and pay for your sins. What more is it that you wanted? And yet, I see the TV preachers, some of them have a wonderful message, and some of them do a wonderful work, but I'll notice at the end, when it's send in your money, and you got to know the code, right? The code for send in your best gift means send in as much as you can. Okay, that's what that means. And I finally heard one the other day, just came on out with it. The more you send, the more God will bless you. That's a lie from hell. You can't gain more favor with God than you already have. He said, I love you enough to send my Son to die for your sins. What else is it that you expected me to do? And now the churches have gone to legalism, and they want to add to, you help God, He'll send you the big house and the new car and the whatever and the whatever. Tell the guy that lives in Zulu land that. He's still in a mud hut. A missionary gets him saved. Go to Haiti. It's not far out the window there. Get you a canoe and get at it, and you'll be over there finding out people living in dirt. Dig a hole in the ground, and that's home. Little children buying mud cookies. And what in the world is a mud cookie? A mud cookie is a cookie made out of dirt that sells for a penny. And the kids, when they can get a penny, they go buy a cookie and eat it. It's made out of dirt. Got a little sweetener in it. And we complain. How sad we are that we complain we're down to one car. How sad we are. We got to get a bigger house. I mean, this won't do. Go to Mexico. Bernie will tell you, and Carolyn, they just flew down there for a nice vacation. When you look out the window, those big, beautiful hotels, if you look back up in the hills, you'll see people living in cardboard boxes. How does it happen with people who are supposed to love you one another? Missed the boat somewhere, didn't we? I know of churches that have gone to other churches to get their blueprint of their church, because they're going to build a church, and they want to make sure it's bigger than their church. What's the matter with you? You don't need a $9 million church. You need a steel building or a tent. Or you can get somebody to give you a pavilion, and you preach the gospel, and God will take care of the rest. All you have to do. Do you understand what we do here would cost you millions of dollars to do if you tried to do it on your own? This building sells for $9 million. We're in it for 17 years every Sunday morning. Rent free. We have to buy a door every now and then, or something will break down. They expect us to pay for it. I consider it rent. I don't care. That's a pretty good deal. Buy four doors in 17 years ain't bad. Don't tell H. Lee. He'll want four more in the morning. Right? Here we are. So we're sitting there, and the Bible said, what, go into all the world and preach the gospel, which we've already discussed is what we do here. We tell people up front that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. You're either going to heaven or going to hell. You're going somewhere. Your hair's turning white. Your teeth are coming out. You can hardly walk. And you're trying to prepare for the future. What's the matter with you? You ain't got a future. No future for you. I love that. People come to me, preacher, I'm so sad. Why are you sad? Well, my mother died. And I said, well, that will bring you sadness and all. Well, why my mother? And I said, honey, everybody's mother dies. Jesus' mother died. What was wrong with your mother? We don't know. She just passed away. And I said, how old was she? She said, 101. I said, you sitting here surprised that somebody 101 died? What's the matter with you? That's why I don't get to counsel. Miss Ann does the counseling. She does nice, sweetheart, and, you know, smiles and all that. And I'm smiled out. I get down to the reality test. See, why do we have to put up with certain things? Why, when we have enough Christians in America that if they all work together, we could get the abortion laws changed in 24 hours, why ain't it being done? Well, we just don't want to upset anybody. Well, I'm sorry, you came to the wrong place. I want to upset everybody. Well, people won't like you. I can't tell you the whole phrase, but liking leads to loving, loving leads on, and it ain't going to happen. Okay? You come down here to be liked. I came down here to do the best to follow Brother Paul. Did you know all the apostles were killed? There really not much future in the Bible for a preacher. Read what happens to them. Pulled apart by horses. They better have some Clydesdales if they're going to pull me apart. Okay. Cut in half with swords. Beaten to death. But we said, no, we're going to get legalism. Smile and be nice and don't upset anybody. If the bridge was out down here and you're trying to go to Loris, don't know why you go unless you're Peggy, so you're going home over there. And you got to go across the waterway, and the bridge is out. And it's evening. It's not bright. It's evening. It's dark. You don't know the bridge is out. And a guy comes screaming up to your car, beating on your new car, leaving fingerprints. Maybe even a dent on your new car. Screaming at you, stop, please. The bridge is out. If you go 100 more feet, you will die. You're going into the waterway. Cut the motor off. Get out of the car and get out of here. Would you be mad because he yelled at you? It happened to me. I lived in Jekyll Island, Georgia for a while. Before I had money. I had a lot of money for him at Ann. She can just, you know.
Did I ever thank you for that?
No, you didn't. And, Anyhow, would you get mad at the man that yelled at you? At Jekyll Island, we had a good shrimp boat captain down there. If he's still alive, he's drunk now. He's always drunk. And finally, one day, he just runs that boat right into the pillar of the big bridge in Brunswick. Cars are coming. The bridge is open. Cars pushing one another because they got to get to where they're going because there's so much happening where they're going. Nothing. Man just got married, young man like this. Young fellow here and his girlfriend, but they just got married. He jumps out of his car to see what the fuss is all about. The cars behind him can't stop, and they push his young bride right into the water. She's gone. Plus 10 or 12 other cars. People dying. Would you have been happier at the bridge out here if the guy had said, excuse me, you can roll down your window. I'm not bothering you, Emma. Say, is it rude to ask you to turn your radio down? Well, thank you. Just want you to know that the bridge is out. And you may want not to go down there. Maybe you don't want to die today. I forgot to ask. Have we gone totally crazy? I want him jumping up and down, pulling his hair, set your hair on fire, say, stop! And yet if you are too loud at church, Somebody said, well, he seemed like a nice fellow, but he was very loud. So what? We get people who will leave every now and then, and I don't know where they go. They don't come back, and they leave. And somebody will ask them, why did you leave? Well, he said so-and-so. And I've taught, and if I hadn't taught you, I'll teach you right now. If anybody says that to you, say, well, the man preached for 45 minutes. What else did he say? You remembered one sentence you didn't like or that offended you. So you gonna turn your back on God? What's the matter with you? I tell you what the matter is. You're trying to please yourself instead of the Lord. If you preach right at the end of the service, somebody ought to be crying. When you give an invitation to accept Christ, somebody's going to give themselves away. They may get saved. They may ask the Lord to come into their heart, then repent of their sins. And some just cry because they know they're so guilty, but still won't ask Him for forgiveness. What did Jesus call somebody who didn't accept Him and His message? What did He say? Nicest guy that ever lived. Most theologically correct being there's ever been. The Savior of mankind. Chamber of Commerce would want him to be man of the year if he came here, right? What did he say if you were a non-believer? He said, fool! If you don't believe everything that's written in this book, that's not me. Well, I don't think the preacher could use language like that. Well, pay me more and I won't. Not here to please me. Not here to please you. We're here to please God. I don't want to face the Lord Jesus Christ one day and Him say, by the way, come here a minute. We have a record of everything you ever preached. Several Sundays you didn't even tell them about me dying for them. Several Sundays you let people walk out of there. Now they're dead and in hell because you failed to preach the gospel that I said to preach. What's the matter with you? What am I going to do? What is there to say? Well, our church just doesn't do that. We try to be ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Get real. Get real. What if everybody was the witness that Bradley and Frankie are? My little mama, she's with the Lord now. She finally died. She was 90-something. And I finally found out why she died. She wanted to bug the Lord personally about me. And you talk to that little lady for 3 minutes, you're going to hear the gospel. I don't care who you are. I'd go visit my brother in Hope, New York, which is 6 miles southeast of Buffalo, a college professor. He was the intelligent one and all that. And then there was me. And Christmas, I'd go up and visit them, be with the family. My mother was up there with him. We go to a mall over there in a little town. I forgot the name of it. Do you know what it was? It doesn't matter. Nobody's going there. Olean. That's the name, Olean. And we'd go to the mall. I mean, you know, America is a mall. Doesn't know where you go. Same stores, same people, same attitudes, same nothing. America's turned into a mall. I remember when it was so good when I was a little boy. And we'd get to see my grandmama in Toronto. Man, this was not only another town, this was another country. And the towns in between would be different, and it was something to see. Man, it don't matter where they let you out in a parachute today, it's going to look like South Georgia. There'll be a mall or two, and a high school, and a courthouse, and people living in the surrounding areas all look alike. It's so sad. I don't want that to happen. I want things to be different. Well, what do you want? I want to see the Lord Jesus Christ who made this and we ruined it and Him saying, look, I'm going to do it one more time. Did you read the book of Revelation? Do you know he's going to redo this whole earth? Ann's a good friend, little Patricia, she was my wife. They'll have to discuss that in heaven on their own. I'm not going to get in the middle of that. Patricia is dying, cancer, Winston-Salem. And I'm up there with her, of course. And I said, well, I'll go buy her some flowers. It might cheer her up just a little bit. And as a smart florician does, what do you call a florist? All right. As a smart florist will do, they're going to open up near the hospital because they know people going to buy people roses and stuff. And so I went in and looked around and saw all the beautiful flowers, and they are wonderful. And I saw some roses. I wanted to get her a dozen roses. So I saw them, and lady said, can I help you, sir? I said, well, yeah, I wanted to get a dozen roses, but these aren't real. She said, oh, yeah, they're real. I said, no, ma'am, I know roses, and these aren't real. I'm aggravating her for fun, of course. And I said, they're just not real. She said, they are real roses. I've been running this flower shop for 20 years. I know real roses when I see them. The plastic ones are over there. We get them from Japan. They are hard to tell from the real ones. I understand that. But these are the real roses. I said, no, they're not. She said, well, how do you know? I said, because they got thorns on them. What's that got to do with it? I said, the real roses don't have thorns. The thorns came after the curse, ma'am. The beauty we see of this world and enjoy and put them on the postcards and Chamber of Commerce advertises how wonderful it is. Understand all of that's under a curse. You wait till you see a real rose. We smell, more of us smell than others, but we smell only 20% of what we should smell. In the real world, when the Lord redoes it, you'll smell a rose while it's in the parking lot out there. We hear less than that. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, but we ruined that with sin, did we not? And now we aren't anything near what we could be. Or could have been. But because of the gospel Paul talks about, faith in Christ and faith in Christ alone, and he is the only way, by doing that, we get to live in the new heavens and the new earth, and your imagination nor mine can't even imagine what that's going to be like. I tune in a few evangelists on TV and watch them just for fun, and there they are, telling it like it ain't. Well, I went to heaven and stood before Jesus. Liar, this book said nobody has done that. Well, I thought, when he said I could have died for the sins of mankind if I'd have known the word good enough. Excuse me. And the things that are poured out to us other than the truth. You see, the greeting used to be, I appreciate the Muslims for the way they greet each other. They meet each other, and if they say Allah, which is their God, which doesn't exist, but that's another point. If somebody names the name of Allah, they immediately say, bless his name. When we say God, we generally finish it with the rest of the curse word in America. They got our little children on computers. And the code and the things that you've got, you folks that understand that, I don't. AMG, what is it? OMG, capital letters. That's code for, oh my God. Do you know when you say that, you are taking the Lord's name in vain? Vain means emptily, uselessly. And we have it in daily conversation, on television, on the radio, in the schools, people running for president, people wanting to be congressmen and senators, and standing up before us and blaspheming the God who created us. We've gone totally insane. How sad. Well, what did Paul say to do? Paul said to tell people there is one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the only way. And you will hear the politicians talk on TV. You already have. Well, surely you don't think you're the only religion. Surely we do. Why? Because we're not a religion. Christianity is not a religion? No. You call it a religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All other religions, so-called, are man-made and will get you nowhere. Buddhism isn't even a religion. It's a philosophy. Most people think it's a religion. Hinduism. Do you know there's more Hindu missionaries than there are Christians? Confucianism, you got to study all of this when you go to seminary and all that. Totally useless, I don't care. Let's study the one that works. Let's get concerned with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when somebody uses his name in front of me, I'm going to say, excuse me, talk about your father, the devil. Don't talk about mine. He said, well, you don't have many friends, do you? No. And says, nobody will talk to you. I understand that. Why? Because I tell the truth. It's hard. Man, after you say, isn't your mother ugly, the conversation's over, man. They don't want to go any further. But if we tell the truth, mom's standing there ugly. We both know it. Because we've made it all right to lie. We call them little white lies. No such thing. Truth's truth, lies, lies. Gospel is so simple. You can go up, down, heaven, hell. You in or out. You saved or lost. Now we're ready to go home. That's what the gospel is. Whose side you on? What you going to do? How you going to reach somebody? We give out the little silver dollars. I got some more in my car now. I want to put out on the table back there. There's little round coins. It just says, where will you spend eternity? And on the back's John 3:16. And you can give them out anywhere. Leave them in bathrooms and your bars you go to. Leave them everywhere. Just give them to people. Here, did you drop this? Let me ask you a question. It's the most important question you'll ever be asked. The answer's on the back. Don't read it now. Put it in your pocket. Read it when you go home. Think about it. And then read the back of this coin, okay? The question is, where will you spend eternity? People don't like that question. Well, I just don't think we should force our religion on. I'm not forcing anything on anybody. I'm at the bridge saying you bet ready, you're going to jump in the waterway with that car if you don't stop it. And I'm sorry if it hurts your ears or feelings by the way I phrase that. But when you don't drown, guess who you're going to call and thank? Every now and then we'll get an email in there. I got some the other week. Somebody said, Beaver, just wanted you to know I got saved down at the pavilion 10 years ago. And just wanted to thank you one more time. Well, I didn't save you. I just sent you, put you on the right path. But how nice. How nice that people in states far, far away, because of you, because of what we do here, have found saving grace in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the value of that? It's worth far more than this building is, and it's going for $10 million right now. You want to invest it? How about the investment commercials? You've seen them, hadn't you? The bank will help you now. They up to giving you a 1% return. Gee, thanks. It'll cost you more to drive down there and put the money in the bank than you make for doing it. And they think you've done something. Have you seen the gold ads? Buy gold, buy silver. That one dude, what's his name? He's on there all the time. He was a movie star. He's on every 20 minutes. I buy gold every chance I get. Well, what are you doing on TV? Get down there and buy you something. Yeah. You need to buy silver. There's a revolution coming. You need to read the Bible. There's a day coming when people will throw their gold and silver into the streets because it's totally worthless, and we are almost there. My doctor wasn't with me the other day, so I bought a baby Ruth. Right? And I paid the girl for the candy and unwrapped that thing, ready to eat it. And I said, honey, isn't it something? I mean, baby Ruth when I was a kid was a nickel. Then they went to a dime. Then they went to 15 cents. I never bought another one. I said, that's it. A baby Ruth now at a convenience store, they've cut it in half. So now it costs two baby Ruths to one package. No, it's one baby Ruth cut in half to one package. And it's not 15 cents anymore. It's $1.74. I said, I'm too old. I am too old. I can't afford to die. Hope the Lord comes through. Come soon. Don't you buy no big casket for me.
Don't you worry.
Are you even going to the funeral? I'm telling you, yeah. Get married, Scott. That's the thing to do. Yeah. But Apostle Paul is not just talking to the people in the first century. He's talking to me and you. The just shall live by faith. The just, those who have been justified, and the old black man's preacher. Somebody said, Rev, what does justified mean? He said, justified never done it. Pretty good explanation. Pretty good explanation, the way God looks at it. So you get justified, then you get sanctified, and that's a process of learning more about this book, of learning more about the Savior, of learning more about how to live the Christian life, of being a better Christian as you go. That's justification. And then the Lord comes and you have reached glorification. Wonderful. We go to heaven. Okay. Check out some of your local churches. Give your offering here and then go hear them. And don't be taking your offering up the street. Okay. And tell me how many sermons you hear on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to preach in Greenville Wednesday. The preacher that's having me, I like him. He's a nice fellow. I didn't know him well, but 20 of my friends are in a Bible study there, and they have other people in, and they go to his church, and they talk to me outside of his church when we can talk like good friends talk. And he said, Beaver, our preacher doesn't even give an invitation. I said, then why do you have a church? I mean, when they quit having basketball games, I assume Miss Hatchell will have to find something else to do. Why keep going down to gym if you don't have a team? What you gonna do? Just keep going, looking, listening, do nothing about it, never play a game? What's the point? And yet the Christian church has turned into that. We'll listen, you talk, we'll go home and complain about you, and that's the end of it. Thank you. You're not like that, I hope. We have some good people here that win people to the Lord, invite them to church, bring them to church, talk about Jesus, and then we have others. If I say something wrong, we never see them again. had one lady a few years ago, and then we'll go home about 10 years ago. And bless her heart, she I don't know what her problem was. She had evidently come in second in the lemon sucking contest because I never saw her smile. And finally, she was going to leave. And somebody asked her, said, "Well, why are you leaving?" She said, "Well, all the churches I've ever gone to, they publish a thing and tell you where the money you gave went." I said, "Well, we don't publish anything. And the money you give us is in my briefcase, and it goes to my house. Are you happy?" "Well, I never. Well, I don't know how far the money I give goes." I said, "Ma'am, I've had somebody watch you for about a month, and believe me, what you've been putting in that briefcase won't go far. You don't have to worry about that going far." And then I had a little lady, passed on now, past 80 years of age. Every Sunday she'd come, and I'd find a white envelope in the briefcase. No name, no nothing, just a little white envelope. And after a while, I knew who it was from and what it was and what was going to be in the envelope. And every Sunday, she had two $1 bills in there. Every Sunday. No job, no husband, no inheritance. But she'd find a way to do her part. I said, "Now that $2 will go so much farther than $200 from a man who never mentions the name of Jesus Christ. You won't believe how God's math works. You won't believe it." I was sitting outside the other day and talking to Frankie on the telephone, and bless his little heart, I said, "Frankie, I was sitting out on our little porch thing there at the condo and studying a little bit, and I looked on the railing and there was a little bug moving along. He was so tiny, he wasn't as big as a pin's head. He was as big as a pin point. And I just got to watching him. All his little legs going coordinated, knew exactly where he was going, knew where he'd come from, knew what he was looking for, and in a minute he'd fly. I can't do that. He'd fly to wherever else he was going. I said, "Is that not enough to tell you there's a God?" Martin Luther once said, "A rat running across the floor." He had a fireplace and mice in the house. And he said, "A mouse running across the floor ought to be enough information to tell you there's a God." Now that you know there is, and now most people in here are already saved. We don't pressure you and say, "If you're not saved, stand up, let everybody look at you." We don't do that. We just say, you know right now, if you've ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and if you were assured that that saved you because he said it did, and he has swapped his righteousness for your sinfulness, and if you drop dead today, you can't die because absent from the body is present with the Lord. Read the book and believe it, and you know whether you've done that or not. If you haven't, please do that today. If you're watching my webcam, I can't see you. You can see me. Please do that today. It's not for show. I don't need you to come up here. I can't do any more for you than to tell you if you're lost, you need to get saved. If you're not trusting by faith the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. I'm sorry about that. I don't revel in that. I'm not glad about that. I'm sorry Hitler had to go to hell. But you, I get to talk to. And you can never say, "I never heard that you were saved by faith. I never knew that all I had to do was say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Make me a child of God. I never knew that it was that simple. And if you haven't done that, you do that today. You don't have to come up here. As we pray and we sing, as we do every Sunday. And what we sing applies to you just like it does me and everybody in the world who has accepted Christ can sing this song with us. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. If you haven't done that today, you do that while we pray and sing. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that people came out to hear the Word of God. And I'm not the best preacher there ever was, never said I was, but I can preach the truth. I know who you are. I know who I was. I see too many miracles today to deny that there's a God in heaven. I've had too many prayers answered, and I'm not in a position to tell you to do anything. All I can do is humbly present the case to you, and we will obey and abide by your answers. And Lord, if there's one here this morning or watching by webcam who doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, they may have been members of four different churches and been in churches all their life, but never can they point to a day where they bent their knee and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I truly believe it's you. And I want to give my life to you. And if there be one here or watching by webcam, Lord, would you please touch their heart and let them come to you today. Help us to do thy will. Thank you that the storm did not come in here. Thank you that you've been so good and blessed us so much at this little church. Thank you that we can be a part of showing people how to be saved. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.
If you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a
now I live and breathe in freedom. is mine, the victory's God has won. Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner.